With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Good evening and welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host here, Ryan Gilbert, filling in for Talon Jenkins. With me here, as always, is my co-host, Joel Meyer. How are we doing tonight, Joel?
Doing really well. I spent the afternoon listening to some old music. I've got these playlists. They're all called Sex Something, because the first one was I Made It for Sex with an Ex-Girlfriend, and I just kept it up. And so I've got all these folders. So there's sex music Satan for my death and black metal. There's sex music Depressing for like some shoegaze and post-punk and other dark shit. And but today was sex music Barbarian, which was all power metal and old 80s metal, like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest and Slayer. So I was rocking that today, cranking it. And it's just a very, very uplifting music, gets you going. So yeah, I am ready to go.
That's good stuff there. I'm sure Talon would have enjoyed that list of bands. So this is all music that you made to have sex to, or it just happened that way, that started the folder, and now that's just your playlist?
Exactly, yeah. That's okay. Just the first folder, and then I just kept it up for the rest of them. Fuck it. But yeah, no, Talon would have I don't know, hardcore, sex music crabcore, or something like that.
Yeah, I was getting worried with your sex music emo or whatever list you had there. So that's good, Derek. Glad you had a good afternoon. It's still afternoon for you as we record this here, 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific. So you have more sex music to listen to even after we record while you listen to the games here. As always, make sure you check out the Sports Gambling Podcast website. Plenty of stuff up there. World Cup, hockey, winter meetings picking up, basketball, college football playoff was released. So a bunch of stuff there. Make sure you check out the website and make sure you check out the Discord. Discord has been fantastic. sg.pn/Discord. Got people in there throwing out all kinds of bets, trying to get back to the basics here a little bit. But, you know, always good to have different points of view there. And make sure you subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on Spotify, sg.pn/hockeys, and on Apple, sg.pn/hockey, and leave us a 5-star rating and review, and we'll read it at the end of the next show. All right, let's get into our first segment here. As always, Professor Joel is back when we have a two-man show, so I'm excited to hear your lesson for today.
Yeah, we got a big one today. Okay, we're gonna try to give a general introduction to how market dynamics work. Sports betting is not as simple as just picking a team to win. There's many different facets involved. So we'll try to explain some of the more important ones, starting with point one here. In many ways, sports betting is a lot like trading stocks. Some guys don't like it being compared to investing, mocking those who do so as nerds or whatever, but it's hard to ignore the parallels. For one, you're calculating the probability of an outcome and deciding if that probability is greater than the one the price or the odds imply, which would make it a valuable investment. Secondly, information is crucial to both, whether it's having better data on a team that allows the bettor to make good projections, or knowledge of an injury before the line adjusts to it, or developing sharp models that can accurately depict how a stock will perform over any given time frame. Knowledge is the most powerful tool of both the bettor and the trader. Thirdly, it's a zero-sum game. The bettor versus the bookmaker, one trader against another. One wins while the other loses based on the result of a game or a stock rising and falling. There's also the crossover between people who bet at a high level and those who dabble in the financial world. So during the pandemic, we with no sports to bet on other than Korean baseball, we hear that professional bettors such as Joey Toons turn their attention to trading because of the same principles of buying low and selling high and whatnot apply to both. You got any thoughts there?
I mean, yeah, I think there is, because the gambling and like investing thing is like, yeah, you're not you're investing for 3 hours in a team if you're only betting on a game. But, you know, we talk about futures are one of the best places to get value on teams. And that truly is an investment. That is when you should be looking at, you know what, this is what the price says the chances are. And I think they're a team that is better than that. I mean, I talked about it on Friday night, if I remember correctly, the Hurricanes right now, they're undervalued, I think. And stuff like that is finding the gaps there. And I think that's something people look at sports betting, but with focusing on the sport. And they're like, okay, here's this game happening. I want to get some action in on it. When, if you're trying to be profitable in the long run and be serious about it, then yeah, you should look at it as more of like an investment, like a, okay, I think this team is going to lose, but I think there's a better chance of them winning than the odds suggest, so I'm going to bet on them.
Right, yeah, and even the term futures come from a trading term, too. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I'm not an expert in the field, but I know that it originated in the financial markets. So at point number two, we can start with how lines are created and shaped, and in doing so, clearing up a popular misconception, which is that Vegas knows everything, quote-unquote. We have gone over this in an earlier episode, but it bears repeating. Vegas knows shit. Quote unquote, Vegas is just the odds makers creating lines that they think are accurate, maybe inflating them somewhat for teams of bigger markets that usually take more money. If these lines are not accurate, and they frequently are not, bettors with a history of winning will help the books make the lines more accurate by betting into them. This is why we call the opening line soft, because they have low limits and are based merely on the thoughts and models of the bookies themselves, who are just one source of information. After these books take on early action and they become more confident in their lines, the limits in these markets rise. They do not want to allow for 5 or 6 or 7 figure bets on a game until they have been reasonably informed on it by the market, which is sharp bettors. That is why it's a lot easier to beat the NFL betting on a Monday than it is on Sunday, because you are betting against the book instead of the collection knowledge of the market.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things is that I wanted to bring up as well, is how the lines are made, and more importantly, I think how you should perceive the line. Because I know sometimes I look at a game and like, okay, this team is better than this team. Or not even this team's better than this team. It's this team I like to bet on more, or this team like I have a personal preference towards. And I feel like you should definitely get away from that and like just look at the numbers, look at how teams are playing recently, and not be like, okay, like the Golden Knights are a team that I've seemed to back a lot. And whenever they're playing a lesser team, like, okay, I'm probably going to bet on them. But you have to look at if they're not playing well recently or what it is, or if they're a popular team. If they're a popular team, we always talk about it with the Leafs. They get overvalued. And teams like Carolina, I mean, they're in smaller market teams. Talk about East Coast bias. So like a small market West Coast team is probably one of the most undervalued out there. And no, just off the top of my head, maybe Seattle or one of the California teams when they're not, you know, top of mind for people, could be teams to look at where the prices are off.
Yeah. So to sum up point two, quote unquote, Vegas, in fact, does not know it has less power and less information than the sharpest bettors, but it is able to use them to create sharper lines, which allows them to comfortably take more action from the general public. So if the books don't know everything, that its own lines are not the sharpest, that there is no collusion between them and major leagues like the NHL or NFL, we can ask how they make their money. Despite the myths about Vegas knowing the result of something ahead of time, the answer is far simpler. They charge a vig. It's pretty fucking obvious, but I guess some guys prefer to think they've been cheated out of something than admit they made a bad bet. Anyway, there's a price we have to pay to make a bet, which is the vigorish, or the hold percentage that the book takes, the standard pick'em line. -110 bet means that the book takes about 4.55% for itself, and the line suggests each side has a 52.38% chance of winning. Most bettors cannot win more than 52% of the time. Hell, not even 50% of the time over the long term, which is why bookmaking is a sustainable business. Their advantage is the price we have to pay to place wagers, not that they have inside information on all these different sports and markets. Got anything there?
No, I mean, that you summed it up pretty well there. That's yeah, no, yeah, continue with your lesson here.
Pretty simple.
I have no banter based off that, no.
All right. The sports betting space is growing increasingly sophisticated with legalization and its corresponding rise in popularity. With millions more being wagered across more and more books, the bookies have to get better at their business, which makes it harder to find edges a lot of the time because the lines are currently sharper in major markets than in years past. This brings us to the myth of the trap line, which is allegedly a line designed to fool the bettor into betting it because it looks so good. A line is what it is because it has been bet into by people smarter than us. And if you think a line is too good to be true, you are either ignorant of why those people bet into that line, or you are even smarter than them. To give an example, the Minnesota Vikings are 10-2 right now, and will play the 5-7 Detroit Lions on Sunday. The simplest projection of who is favored in that game would tell you that it should be the Vikings. Looks like the better team, right? Instead, the Lions opened as 3-point dogs, but were immediately bet until they became 2.5-point favorites. Why did this happen? Because the Vikings are winning ridiculously unsustainable one-score games with the metrics of a decent team and not an elite one, whereas the Lions are playing inspired football over the past few weeks. So the casuals may call this a trap line, whereas in truth, it's just the market telling you which is the sharp side, given the line movement and the fact that a 10-2 team is an underdog to a 5-7 team. The reason I bring this up is that 3 or 4 years ago, this phenomenon would take place later in the week or not happen at all. The Vikings would remain the favorite, and the sharp players would be able to back the lines throughout the week instead of just at the opening. This is another reason why it is more important than ever for the casual bettor to get in early on these lines, because they sharpen up faster and faster these days due to the amount of action books are taking now. Finally, we'll touch on following the market itself and how to get the best lines possible. This starts with the opening lines. If you follow the performance of certain teams and see that they are playing better than the results suggest, they will be the teams that get the early money because the openers are based more on the results than the underlying numbers. Injuries are also key because, especially with players that aren't star players but extremely valuable to their team, because their loss will not immediately impact the odds. It's not obvious. Comparing the effect of Valeri Nichushkin's injury to Nathan McKinnon's is a great example of this. Nuke's absence was hardly noticed in the early odds, yet the Avs were a team that were continually bet against in the aftermath of that injury. McKinnon's injury, meanwhile, caused the Avalanche to be as high as +280 at home to the Bruins on Wednesday, which is a significant overreaction. Obviously, McKinnon is a better player than Nichushkin, but not to the extent that those line impacts imply. Back-to-backs are obviously another opportunity to bet the rest of the team against the entire team. Seeing as line usually goes that way, we've been over this a million times, especially if the backup is in on the second game. Conversely, you naturally want to wait if you want to play the entire team at a better number. All right, the last thing I'll say, and then I'll shut up, is that you want to follow betting trends, see which teams are bet and when. This requires following an odd screen or the odds of a sharp book pretty faithfully. But if you do, you can notice patterns, because it's really the same bettors and syndicates move the lines, and they'll often bet at certain times of the day. A lot of it happens at 8 a.m. Eastern time, and the limits go up on game day. But you'll also see crafty guys wait for certain dogs like the San Jose Sharks to get high enough right before game time and jumping in. The Kraken were the most obvious one last year, where the same analytically driven groups continue to bet them up. The same thing has happened earlier this year with the Devils, although with far more success. By studying this stuff, you can get a better number by backing a team before they're bet up, or alternatively, waiting until they're bet up if you want the opposite team. So that's all for now. We're just skimming the surface of very deep waters here, but I think we got the fundamentals done at least.
Yeah, I had something to say about the next to final point there about the increase in legalization and everybody kind of commercialization of gambling. And that example here of, you know, we talked about it on previous episodes, when news is broken, the odds don't change as quickly as maybe they should, especially with big trades or big signings. And to use a baseball example, when Trey Turner signed with the Phillies, I got them at 18-1 to win the World Series, and now they're down to 14-1, 12-1 some places. So that's minor value there, but that's just something where, you know, we talk about starting goalies. You see starting goalie news in the morning, the line doesn't move yet, hop all over that. So there's a lot of more information and news out there now, especially with everyone having everything on their phone and having sports books on their phone, where you can just open up an app and place a bet in 30 seconds after seeing some news, when, you know, those bookmakers and those odd setters have to, you know, see the news and then adjust the market based off what they think is going to come in. So I think, you know, we always talk about having multiple books, having multiple outs, where you can find those discrepancies, and that's something you need to take advantage of.
Absolutely.
All right, another fantastic lesson there from Professor Joel. Thank you. Hopefully that can help people win some more bets. And if you're ready to win money and boost your odds, WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBET. Looking to get involved in a same-game parlay? WynnBET is your home with their WynnBET Build Your Own Bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. WynnBET has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, win $100. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or somebody knows a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, we got a relatively big slate here for Wednesday night. We got 7 games here on the docket. Are you ready to go into it?
Ja, wohl, mein Kamerad.
All right, let's kick things off here with the only 7 o'clock game here. I do want to applaud the NHL here. All 7 games have different start times here, so you love to see it. There's always going to be some sort of action going on Wednesday night. Starting us off with the Washington Capitals at the Philadelphia Flyers. The game itself is in the city of brotherly love at the Farg. Capitals -140 favorites. Flyers home dogs +120. Over-under is 6.5. Over is -105. Under is -115. I'll kick us off here with my Flyers. Just got a big win over the Avalanche in name, even though the Avalanche kind of had a late pushback there and were missing everybody except Rantanen and Makar pretty much. I don't know if the Flyers can win back-to-back games. They haven't, I don't think, since the first 3 games of the season. They won the first 3. They won 1 back-to-back games, Ottawa, St. Louis, but I think Washington has been pretty good here on the road, especially recently. They had the win in Edmonton. They won in Vancouver. Tough losses in Seattle and Calgary, but, you know, the Flyers rivalry game here kind of for the Capitals. They outshot the Oilers 50-30. I think the Capitals should be much bigger favorites here than just -140. Overall in the season, they are, I think, in the 20th overall expected goals for, Flyers 29th. But in the last 10 games, Capitals had the 9th best expected goals for percentage at 53%. Flyers down there 27th at 45%. So, I mean, if the Flyers win, it's going to be because of Carter Hart, but they're going to get that kid killed. So give me the Capitals here at -140. And I would lean to the under here. Kemper's been playing better as of late, .916 save percentage overall. And the Capitals won 3-2 in overtime a few weeks ago. So I like the Capitals, and I do lean to the under, although I may not bet that.
Right there with you. One of my main points was also that the Capitals are playing a lot better now, even though their main guys are still out for the most part. They're just a much superior team. Yeah, like you said, their expected goals for percentage is a lot better now than it was in the first few weeks of the year. And then I'm really low on the Flyers. Big surprise there. Carter Hart with his excellent performer so far has sustained them up to this point. But I think the Capitals' depth and better star power will win out this game. I have the Capitals at -172. This is the biggest edge I see on the board today. So, yeah, give me the Capitals to win fairly comfortably, I think. Especially the Flyers coming off that, the win against the Stanley Cup champs, too. That's a bit of a... Although this is a rival game too, isn't it?
Technically, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that's negated. But yeah, give me the better team here at -140.
Did your thoughts and respect for Carter Hart go up after some of his saves he made the other night?
No, it just made me fucking hate him more.
All right, then. Yeah, he's saving us from the tank. Connor Bedard just had an incredible goal last night, I think, as well, like a backwards toe drag or something. Whatever. Going down the 7:30 game here. We got a barn burner. Buffalo Sabres at the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sabres -135. Blue Jackets are +115. over under 6.5, over minus 115, under paying off minus 105. Let's kick this one to you, Joel. What do you think about this one?
Well, I've said it a couple times by now, but the Sabres are all about the vibes, and right now they're on a good vibe. They're still towards the bottom of the standings there, but they are playing a little bit better in this last week or two, winning a few games. But they're still not a good team. But the Blue Jackets are worse. My line actually hasn't pretty equal, but I've been pretty down on the Sabres this year, whereas the Blue Jackets pretty down on them too. So minus 135 on the road seems a bit high, maybe a little inflated, but I still got to go that way given the Blue Jackets are on the opposite side of that vibe right now, whereas the Sabres are playing decent hockey, I guess, and even with the goaltending just totally crashing down to earth after that early blitzkrieg by Craig Anderson and Eric Comrie. I think Comrie's out, right? So it's Pekka Luukkonen,
and Anderson.
Yes. Yeah. Man flesh eater. Give me the Sabres here, minus 135. Small bet.
Yeah, it does seem a bit inflated there for minus 135, but it is worth noting this is the second half of a back-to-back for Columbus, who plays in Pittsburgh tonight. Hopefully they get their shit pumped there a little
bit. Oh, that's right. I didn't even consider that. Okay, yeah, the line makes more sense.
So they'll be on a back-to-back. That's probably why the line is what it is. But the last back-to-back the Blue Jackets had, they lost 6-1 to Detroit and then came back with a 5-3 win at home against Florida. So you never know. But I think Buffalo, you said it, they have vibes. We played the Avs tough, lost 6-4, beat the Sharks 6-3. I think here they're going to be the fresher team, so I think them at minus 135 is also a pretty good bet there, so I will be on that. And then I would lean to the over. Both of these teams have been over teams so far this season. All three meetings last season went over 7-3, 4-3, and 7-4. So maybe this is even take an alt total over 7.5, over 8.5 if you want to have some fun and hope for one of those crazy games like we saw the Kraken and Kings had, and then the Canadiens Canucks last night. All right, going down to the 8 o'clock slot here, we have the Minnesota Wild at the Calgary Flames. The game itself is in Calgary. Flames are minus 150. Wild are plus 130. Over-under set at 6, overpaying minus 120. Under is plus 100 here. Just off the cuff here, I think Calgary is the better team. I mean, they're turning things around a little bit, 1-3 out of their past 4, but they did lose to Montreal. On the other hand, Minnesota has been on a heater here, 4 in a row, 6 of their past 7, even though the last 2 did go into a shootout. A lot of high-scoring games there recently as well, with 6 straight overs for them, including 6-5, 5-4, 5-3. So I would lean to the over here possibly as my best play, only at 6. But I do like the road Wild here. I do believe Calgary is a better team at 5-on-5 with underlying metrics. But the Wild aren't too far behind them, especially recently. Last 10 games, they're the 7th best. Calgary has 11th. They've been playing better recently. They're getting the plus 130. So, yeah, I'll take the road Wild here as plus 130 dogs. And I'll put a little sprinkle on the over 6 as well.
You know where I'm going. I'm going back to the Flames, just super high on this team, whereas the Wild have disappointed this year, I think. Even the last few games where they've been winning, I think they've been pretty lucky in them. You know, either Wild comebacks or just winning these shootout games. No pun intended there with the Wild comeback. But yeah, the road thing is negated by Calgary's home form. They're a much better team at home than on the road. But yeah, give me the better team here. At what did you say? They're minus 150.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's still bettable. Calgary's gone to down with Vladar now. He's been much better than Markstrom, who apparently sucks at hockey right now. Meanwhile, I guess Fleury's been playing better, so maybe that's negated. But down Vladar, I have faith in the old Darth Vader and Flames to get this win. I also lean to the under, though, because the Flames have been playing much better defense lately, but they still can't score. So if I'm going with the Flames, I think that means that they can control these the Wild offensive output, you know, especially in the third period where they go nuts. I'm trying to avoid using the word Wild 20 million times. So, give me the Flames and the under for this one.
All right, we're butting heads there on the side in the total, so we'll see who comes out on top there. Going down to 9 o'clock here, we got the Boston Bruins at the Avalanche. Colorado Avalanche. Game itself is in Colorado. Bruins are minus 165. Avalanche are plus 140. Over-unders at 6, over minus 125. Under plus 105. You on the Bruins here, Joel? You believe in them against this injury-riddled Avs team?
I mean, at this number, maybe. But, I mean, like I said earlier, that the Avalanche opened at, like, plus 280. Like, the craziest overreaction I've ever seen.
I was trying to find that and, like, because I thought maybe you misspoke or saw something. Because, like, this is the highest I'm seeing is 140. 155 is still out there.
Yeah. I got plus 213 myself.
But, that's insane. That's absolutely insane.
Yeah. So, the lines open like crazy. Like, McKinnon is... is the only NHL player on this team or something. And the Avalanche are at home here too. Much better home team. Plus, they just lost to the Bruins. They just lost to the Flyers. I think they'll show some spirit here and win this game. Wow, they have a better chance than plus 140 suggests. Anyway, I know I was ready to back the Bruins, but if you're giving me these odds for the Avs here at home, I'm going to take them. Especially, this was probably like the... maybe not, but it's probably like the national TNT game or something on Wednesday. I don't know. Might not mean anything anyway. But plus 140, I don't think there's too much value. I got the Bruins at minus 133. That's my line. But probably not accounting for all the injuries enough. I mean, I already downgraded the Avs like to right around where the Oilers, between the Oilers and the Jets, my rankings. So that's a pretty significant downgrade, but I still only come out with minus 133 for the Bruins in the road. So plus 140 for the Avs here, I would lean to that.
Yeah, I think even with McKinnon out, plus 140 for the Avs at home, I think there's some value there. I don't know if I can take it just because the Bruins have been so good so far this season. The Bruins did beat them 5-1 at home. So, you know, it could be a revenge spot. I'm not willing to lay that minus 165. So this probably comes close to a pass game for me. Maybe I'll put something on the Avs if I can get them plus 150, plus 155 there. Sprinkle that because, you know what, they did not look good against the Flyers or the Bruins. They only beat the Sabres, so maybe it'll be a tough go for them. But, yeah, Bruins are 0-4 in the last four meetings in Colorado. Home team has won 7 of the past 8 meetings. Doesn't mean a lot going back to 2019, but it's a trend, whatever. So I would lean to the home team here, plus 140. And I guess the under 6, just because this plus 105 to get plus money, kind of a toss up there for me, though. So this is pretty much a pass game for me.
I'm not a trend guy, but I think that trend does mean something. The home team 7-1, given the fact that both teams have one of the better home ice advantages in the league with the Avs altitude. And right now with their fans going nuts, it's once again a passion building. And the Bruins, you know, They've always been great for their fans as well. So the home team 7-1 isn't too surprising given the fact that both teams have excellent home ice advantages. So, yeah, the trends don't mean much if you can't explain them. That's always my rule. If you can't explain a trend, then don't fucking use it.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, that definitely the altitude is a big factor. And the gardens in Boston are a big factor as well. I come down to the 9:30 slot here. We got the Arizona Coyotes at the Edmonton Oilers. The Oilers are huge home favorites, minus 275. On the puck line, they're minus 120. Coyotes are plus 230. Coyotes plus 1.5 is plus 100 even. Over under 6.5, over paying off minus 120. Under is plus 100 here. Coyotes have been playing a few tough games recently, lost by 1 to both Calgary and Vancouver, Minnesota as well, Detroit, Nashville. So maybe look at a Coyotes puck line here at even money. Edmonton just lost to Washington at home, got outshot by 20 shots. We beat Montreal by 2, but before that, 1-goal wins against Chicago, Florida, and the Rangers in Vegas. So I can't see Edmonton covering the puck line here. If you don't want to go that way, probably look towards their team total. I could see McDavid, Draisaitl padding a few. But yeah, I think this game for me, if I bet it, it would be Arizona plus 1.5. Or maybe look at like Arizona plus 2.5 with a over-under in there to get you some wiggle room there if you want to find some value.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about this one. Coyotes are playing decent hockey, I guess. They're keeping in close games. They're spoiling their chances for an excellent draft pick in a year where they absolutely need it. Although they have like freaking 20 draft picks. So maybe they're just going to the quantity over quality approach and just building up the young kids for now. They have some nice players come through the prospect pipeline. Plus that Matias Michelli guy has come out of nowhere with a ton of assists. I think that his odds for the Calder, though, are a bit wild. I don't think he has a chance to win that, but he was as low as like 6-1 in some spots. So I don't care about that. Yeah, my line is -241 for the Oilers. So there's not much to do for this game. Yeah, I would take maybe the under. Just I know it's hard taking an under in an Oilers game, but the Coyotes, I think that they'll play some very like prevent defense, just trying to stop the Oilers from scoring the whole game, like just focusing on their own end, not going toe to toe, breakneck speed and opening themselves up for the counterattack. So under 6.5 here, +100 is okay with me. I know you posted that graphic of the old Vajmilk being like top two or something, goals saved above expected. So he I don't think he's top two, but he's definitely been playing as one of the better keepers in the league. So yeah, and if Stuart Skinner starts, Oilers aren't in a back to back, right? No, I don't think so. So yeah, probably Skinner then, and yeah, he's been as good as well. So I like the under 6.5 here plus money. I'm not sure that. That line will move much, but could get a better number later on with the always the over money coming in on Oilers games. But I'm fine with this one too. Under 6.5 and +100 for me.
Yeah, that maybe I'll do a +2.5 under 6.5. Does kind of make sense because then you cover the 4-2 loss. Maybe you parlay the two things that make sense there. You said Vejmelka has been great. 912 save percentage, so the under does make sense. We're going to the 10 o'clock game here. We have the late TNT game. The early TNT game, of course, is the barn burner Sabres at the Blue Jackets. But this late game here, we got the New York Rangers at the Vegas Golden Knights. Game itself is in Vegas. Vegas is -150 on the money line. Rangers are +130. Over-under is at 6.5. Over is +100, and the under is paying off -120. This is a game here where, you know, the Rangers have not played well recently. They did get that win over St. Louis in a high-scoring affair. Beat Ottawa a few games ago, but, I mean, I think Vegas is probably a better team right now. They were able to get that win in Boston despite getting outshot by nearly double, 43-24. Returning back home after a four-game road trip, they went 3-1 on. So I think Vegas here, back at home, Rangers first game on a road trip. I think the -150 might be a little bit too steep for me, but I would lean that way. These are two teams where, you know, Vegas overall has a seventh best expected goals for, and the Rangers have 11th. But in the past 10 games, Rangers have the 22nd best and Vegas have the 21st. So they're both struggling recently, but I think the home ice advantage here gives the edge to Vegas. I just don't know if the -150 is enough, but I would lean to the under, especially if it's Shesterkin versus Thompson.
Yeah, once again, you said a lot of what I was going to say there with the Rangers struggling recently and the Knights doing so as well, but they did have a nice win in Boston. Now they're coming home from the road trip. It should be a decent spot here, I think, against the Rangers who, you know, they lost to the Blackhawks. Bit unlucky in that one. They hit the post a couple times, and they struggled to beat the Blues, who are not a good team either, especially right now with everything going on. And their shitty goaltending. I think the Rangers put 5 at least. The 6 might be an open netter. But, yeah, so Blues are terrible. The Rangers are much better. And the Knights are still a good team. So at -150, that's exactly what I have it. So, if there's a little bit of Rangers money, I would take the Knights. I think I already did bet them at a better number. But I'm seeing they're like -160, -170 elsewhere. So I don't think that this line would go down, unfortunately, but at -150, I think it's still a decent bet given the trajectory of both teams and yeah, just the better team at home here. This could even be the national TV game. I don't know.
But, this is, yeah. I introduced it as a national TV game. Do you even listen to
it?
Come on.
I don't listen to you. I just steal my expected goals for stats. Yeah, give me the Knights here, -150. Give me the under two, under 6.5. That is a bet. I know Rangers' goaltending has been bad, especially the Halak, but Shesterkin hasn't been great either, whereas the Knights, they play some good defense. That game should have gone under to the Bruins the other night, but the Bruins just don't die. So, Yeah, that's why they came back and pushed it to overtime in a game that should have gone under. I didn't bet it, but that was just the right side. And I think that's the right side in this one, too. So give me the under 6.5 and lean to the Knights as well.
Let's close out here with the 10:30 game here, the D-Gen special. Vancouver Canucks at the San Jose Sharks. You're definitely a D-Gen if you're betting this one. Canucks are road favorites, -125. Sharks, home dogs, +105. Over under 6.5, over -120, under +100. Close us out here.
Yeah, it's a Canucks game, so the first look is to the over. But the Sharks have they have an unsustainably good penalty kill, and it's proven to be so lately. They've been letting in some power play goals finally, after having like a 91.5% save percentage or a penalty kill percentage in the first. 20 games or so, but it's kind of fallen apart lately, and I think the Canucks can capitalize on that, and as the Sharks penalty kill comes down to earth. So at -125 and the over 6.5 here, -120, that's the way I'm looking. My line suggests the opposite, actually. Canucks are only -110 here, but they're the better team. They just have some bad luck, I'd say. They had some good luck the other night when they beat the Habs 5-7. I don't even know what the score was. It was crazy. The Habs had a 4-0 lead in the first period, and then the Canucks ended up winning. It was 6-5, I think, in the end, in overtime. So, yeah, the Canucks are a wild one. And at least for once, the blown lead went the other way for them. And hopefully that they can win this one more comfortably, instead of relying on just utter chaos to close the game out. So, yeah, I don't know. Strong opinion here, but -125, I think the Canucks are at play. And give me the over, too.
Yeah, I would lean both of those ways. It was a 7-6 game against Montreal. Now, both of these teams should be able to put up goals.
Is it 7-6?
7-6, yeah. Over
time. I couldn't keep up.
Yeah. Both these teams have the defenses where the opposing team has enough talent to score some goals. Vancouver, obviously, Pettersson, Bo Horvat, Brock Besser, who am I forgetting? Kuzmenko, Mikheyev, like those guys are all. Quinn Hughes putting up some points. San Jose, obviously, Carlson, Timo Meier, Couture, Tomas Hertl. So they have both have some high end talent. So do lean to the over as well as the Canucks. Maybe throw them in a parlay. Throw Canucks in the over 6.5 and definitely get some good odds there for the last game on the docket. But yeah, I probably won't bet this game individually. All right, that's the 7-game slate there. Do have a few consensus plays here I wrote down along the way. Capitals -140 in Philadelphia. Buffalo -135 in Columbus.
Also the over in that game. I didn't mention that, but I do like the over in that one as well.
Okay, all right. I have Colorado written down kind of just as a soft play if you want to bet that one. We did both lean that way. Vegas -150 at home against the Rangers, and the under 6.5 in that game, -120. And then we also both lean to the Canucks in the over in this one. But I don't have that as a quote unquote official play, even though we don't really truly keep track of these.
No. Yeah, sounds good.
All right, yeah, that's a bit of a heavy slate there for a Wednesday. Hopefully get some good 7 games there all spread out. So, yeah, I was looking forward to it. All right, and make sure, as always, you are subscribed to the Hockey Gambling Podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcast, sg.pn/hockey for Apple, sg.pn/hockeys for Spotify, and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Give us a follow on Twitter as well, at HockeySGPN. I am Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at RGilbertSOP.
I'm Joel Meyer. You'll find me watching hockey. Fuck it. I got nothing.
Peace.